Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, John Inch.
Bill, and we and the World Travelers and Howe. Denny Howe, Salonen, Rob the Trainer, Jay Emery, C. Double Blue Richardson, the Two-Tone Kingsley Family, B. Oh My My Myers, Jim the Weed Weaver, Louis the Gatekeeper Jefferson, Bears the Raptor Gentleman Jen, Louis the Babe Robin, Aaron Russell, the Organizer, Nagy, Randy,
and finally,
Captain Video Kissinger.
All right, so I'm looking here, and I'm seeing we got another player that got in trouble. Have you heard about that?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
This time a Calgary Stampeder, and this time a cab driver is involved as well. Is it another one of these things where a player throws change at someone? I hope not. That's what, for those of you that may or may not aware, that's what the Buffalo kid that plays hockey for that team in Chicago. That dude did something to that effect. Anyway, more importantly, it's getting close, guys. We're down to the short strokes for the beginning of training camp. You know, we're hearing from teams like Edmonton. They're really happy with the season, the way it's going. Everyone seems hopeful. Everyone's extremely ecstatic with the draft picks that they picked, and even more so, they're happy with the free agents they picked up, and then the trades that they've made, the ones that were made at training camp. Does this sound like an old saw? We'll go with you first, Christopher.
What are we going with?
Is this an old saw, you know, where everything, all the teams are talking about how wonderful everything is?
Well, I think everything is wonderful. This has been a great great off season, and it's been the most exciting, and everything that's happened is been spectacular. I don't remember an off season where so much has happened in years and years and years. Anybody? You know, it's been exciting. And I think all of the teams have improved straight across the board, and I think every team should be excited about the direction in which they're going.
That is about what I was asking. Kelly, how about you?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this period between kind of February and May, it's kind of the honeymoon period for a lot of CFL fans. Everything is all rosy and everybody's content. I mean, at least the ones that can forget about who the Grey Cup champs are. Now, you know, I think that's just, you know, kind of what the teams and the marketing people and the media relations people have to do. Now, whether it is all good in Edmonton, we don't know. Is it all good in Saskatchewan? We don't know. Right now, there are a lot of questions that remain here, personally. So, yeah, it is what it is.
I think we all still have some holes to fill.
Absolutely. Well, there's always,
but it's getting a lot closer.
There's always holes to fill.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a time when there aren't any holes to fill. I mean, that's what, you know, separates the great general managers from the so-so general managers. Even, you know, even if you're ahead of the pack, you just want to put yourself even further ahead. That's the objective. You never get your foot off the gas. Once you put your foot off the gas, you run into trouble. Right, Bruce?
Absolutely. Oski wee wee, gentlemen.
Hey, Bruce.
How's everybody doing?
Outstanding.
good, man. It's been a while. I was on holidays a couple of weeks ago. And
yeah, we know.
But I know.
We
I just
the,
had to let you
we
know.
We got the pictures.
You got the picture. There you go.
We didn't get the T-shirts, though, as Chris would say.
No, we didn't get
the
T-shirts.
We didn't
that,
get the T-shirts.
I sent them off in FedEx, man. I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So, well, just asking the question, you know, like, you know, Kelly framed it as something where, you know, the teams are on this honeymoon phase with their fans, where they've done nothing wrong over the off season. You know, some may question if they've done enough, but for the most part, everybody's really happy with the new players they bring in the draft, the new players they bring in out of free agency. They got rid of some guys they didn't want. And all that wonderful stuff. How do you define Hamilton's situation? This year, you know who the GM is. He established in your mind and in many's minds that this guy knows what he's doing. Where do you sit as far
absolutely.
As
absolutely, you know, I'm all for it. I'm getting excited about the season. There's, just over 30 days before the camp starts. And I'm looking forward, like I said, you know, Coach Austin, this will be his second full year with the team. And during that first one, man, couldn't ask for any better. Well, one game, you could ask for better. But I'm pumped. I was down at the stadium today. I walked around it. I still think it's going to be close, you know.
it
is. And it'll be Bill Bones if anything. What's that?
So it's only 14 days until camp.
But they can still practice at McMaster, right?
No. Bruce said it's 30 days before the camp starts. I just wanted to say it's only 2 weeks.
Man. Yeah, I'm still, it was 30 days when I was on holidays, man, so I'm still on holidays.
Well, that's a good plan. I like that.
But, yeah, I guess you're
right. How's that working for you?
It's going good.
Yeah. So... So also in the room with us, I say the room, the group, the, you know, the quasi,
hey,
studio.
The fire sitting around the table.
Yeah. Also with us is Manasseh. Manasseh, do I see you? I think I see you there.
Yes, the anti-Canadian himself.
Oh, please. Oh, please. Hey,
it is
funny
so.
It's funny because it's true. What, you think you're the only one that can yank on people's chains?
Yeah, I know. So, gentlemen, how you guys doing tonight?
I'm good.
Awesome.
Very good, thanks.
Great.
Yep.
I was starting by asking a question in as far as does every team legitimately have their fans have the right, the legitimacy to consider the fact that their teams have made improvements, Manasseh?
I think we all agree. Every team's got hope right now. I can't think of a team that doesn't have something to hope for or build on going into this year.
I think that's the most important thing you can have at this point. Also joining us is Stevie Myers. Stevie, how's it going, buddy?
Oh,
and how
hey.
The Red Blacks doing?
Hey guys! Happy Victoria Day!
Yeah,
happy
welcome back, Steve.
Yeah.
This is one time it's okay to talk about crackers.
I'll tell you, I was by the stadium yesterday, over by TD Place, and it's looking really good. No doubt it'll be ready to go by the 18th, assuming their season starts on the 18th. But I'd say it's probably 85% done.
Awesome.
Wow.
Excellent.
When you say that though, you're not talking about the full scope of work. What you mean is 80% of the finishes are done.
Yeah, all the structural stuff is done. So now it's just now they're getting ready to put down the turf. That'll be done in the next week or two. You know, and
in construction terms, they're at substantial. They're probably pretty close to getting paid. They've got substantial.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, once there's a formula for being complete, even when you're not complete. It's like it works out to about 1%, and they're probably kicking that 2-3%, and it'll move real quick. I bet you there were a lot of guys working there, a lot of paintbrushes.
Yeah, they've been going. They pretty well went steady the whole winter. There was some days it was like -40 Celsius, and they were out there, you know. And I kept on thinking about the year that Winnipeg kept on coming up with all these excuses about having a lot of snow and a lot of cold. And I mean, we had a lot of snow here and a lot of cold, and it just, I mean, these guys are just, I mean, they're on top of things.
Well, Steve Myers, let me put my Winnipeg Blue Bomber hat on.
We got one.
Actually, you know what? You know who else can put their Winnipeg Blue Bomber hat on? It's Manasseh, but I'll put it on first. I'll say this, that it is cold in Winnipeg. Like, as cold as it gets in Ottawa, I totally get it. I mean, you guys,
I think it was the wind in Winnipeg that year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it gets cold in Winnipeg. And you know, yeah, well, excuses is one way of putting it, you know. But they did fall behind. They fell behind so much that they had to cancel the idea of having it ready for last season, so before last season. So, you know, that goes without saying. And Hamilton's in a different position. They're probably, you know, they're moving. They got to start moving because it's getting close for them. But you guys had a bit of a, you know, you were able to concentrate on the building of the stadium and all that stuff. You know, Hamilton had to work with the government more directly, and that makes it more difficult.
Well, what happened with Ottawa is they were actually doing work when that lawsuit was going on with the Friends of the Lansdowne.
There you go.
That group from the Glebe. So even though they were still fighting that in court, the group, the OSEG, was still getting all this pre, you know, construction work done. So they were moving buildings, and tearing down the concrete and all that. So they did a lot of work, all the pre-stuff, even though, even while this lawsuit was going on. So as soon as that lawsuit that was settled in favor of OSEG, they were already, like, on their way. So that's why they've been able to do it, like, on time and on budget.
Yeah, and they are being operated by, well, not that Hamilton doesn't have experienced people, but Ottawa, as far as building stadiums and that kind of stuff in that specific area, there's experience by the ownership with the powers that be to create construction. I don't know if I'm saying this right, but they have more. They're more in touch with the unions, the local unions, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, they had a better handle on what needed to be done, and they didn't have to worry about a football season while they were doing it. So. Ottawa's had a little easier time of it. Listen, it's our first chance to actually talk to you guys. Stevie has been to everything that is Ottawa. He, you know, the unveiling of the uniforms, he was there, the town hall, because he's a season ticket holder. Do you have any questions for him? Manasseh, I'll start with you. Any questions for Stevie on the experience of being an Ottawa Red Black fan and what he's been through in this exciting time, you know, of starting up a new franchise from, you know, the uniform to the draft pick to the trades to now planning on training camp. You got any questions for him, Manasseh?
Hey, Manasseh, how are you?
Doing good, Steve. How you doing?
Good.
Great, great. So what do you think?
It's always good to talk to you off.
Oh.
Go ahead there, Manasseh.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just saying, what are you most looking forward to next season?
I think it's just like in Ottawa, it was always the same. Like when being a past season ticket holder, it was just sitting in the stands, and I don't know if you've been to Ottawa before, but when you were sitting on the north side of the stands, and you'd be looking to the west, and you'd see all these walk-ups, all the people walking up over the Bank Street Bridge. It's just to see all these people coming over. And it's for me, it's just basically the game day experience. You know, it's the pregame, showing up to the park a couple of hours before, and which will now be like maybe 100 times better than before, because now it's not only a football stadium, it's actually a complex. So you could technically go there now with friends who aren't really into football. You could actually go with them and say, well, while I'm going to the game, you go to the VIP cinemas, sit there, watch your couple of films, and then I'll see you at the end of the film. So it's not only a football stadium, it's a complete entertainment center. So it's not just a football stadium. It's just, you could go there shopping, you could go to the movies. I think there's like an eight theater complex, you know, with the VIP suites, like they do like what like they have over on Bloor Street there at Varsity.
Oh wow!
You know where you could order a beer for while you're watching your movie. So they put one of those up in there. I think there's 8 theaters.
Well, you can go watch a movie while you guys are getting killed by your tie cats.
Well, that might happen like in about 10 years, maybe.
Sorry, go ahead. I just had to throw that in, man. But that's
I'll tell you
cool,
Bruce.
Man.
I'll
that
tell you something,
like
Bruce.
State of the art. Wow, you guys are on the money down there.
Yeah, you just
awesome.
go on the Red Blacks website.
Yeah.
Like go on the CFL.ca, click on the Red Blacks logo, and then it'll say TD Place, and then scroll down, it'll say like a TD Place updates, and you'll get all the updated photographs and all the what's going on at with OSEG.
Awesome.
Excellent. Good update. Thanks a lot, Stevie.
Yeah, really. Thanks.
Did somebody spring a leak?
I don't know.
All right, so now, Bruce, you got a question for him? I mean, you piped in there. Was there a question in there? I'm not really sure, but.
Well, you guys looking forward to all the tie cats coming over your way?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few. There's actually a couple of guys that I know that are on some of the forums that are tie cat fans living in Ottawa, so I'm sure we're going to get the.
Beautiful. Well, you should know Catherine then, right?
What's that?
Sharampur.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a huge, huge cat fan. Now she's going to be a huge Ottawa fan.
Yeah, and she
promises not to give up her tie cat loyalty.
Yeah.
So what happens when they both play, though?
No, but that's what she's a tie cat fan.
Yeah.
Okay, before Ottawa.
She says she's going to stay tie cat fan.
Husky Wee Wee. That's awesome.
Husky Wee Wee and all that stuff, yeah. So here's a question I got for you. So you never had a chance to tell us about the experience there when y'all went to meet the team for the first time and you had yourself a pretty good pick in the dispersal draft, a guy named Glenn. What was it like that day when Burris was introduced, signed a big contract, and Glenn sort of, I don't know whether he was shuffled to the back or he decided to disappear. What was that like being there for that?
Yeah, I think I like both guys. So in my mind, it was like this is the perfect situation. We've got the two of the best quarterbacks in the league, you know. And it's unfortunately what happened with Glenn, you know, that he's taken it that way. And but you can't cry over spilt milk, right? He's now at BC Lions, and wish him the best, you know. But I mean, if I would have been him, I would have been in Ottawa, because I'll tell you, Henry Burris is a 38-year-old going on 45-year-old. If you know what I mean. So
yeah.
The possibilities are there that he could easily, you know, get hurt and you know, and so I would have showed up. If I would have been Glenn, I would have showed up to training camp.
The only problem was, from the outside, what we garnered from the outside was, it appeared, I say it appeared because I didn't hear the conversations that they had with Glenn when he got there, but he was very excited about joining Ottawa. And the impression was out there that he got kind of stiffed by Ottawa. He got sold one set of goods, you know, and then the opportunity came to sign Burris, and, you know, he was basically hurt and insulted, which poisoned the relationship. I don't think Ottawa wanted to get rid of him.
I just think that
from your perspective, is that
I never
true?
Heard nobody ever anointed him number one. He was always like, they were always like, you know, he came up in the draft. They picked him, but there was never any talk of him being number one. Now I think he jumped to conclusions and thought, I'll be number one.
Exactly.
And I think that's what happened. And
yeah, I think there was a bit of that going on, too.
Yeah.
Christopher, you got a question for our friend Stevie Myers from Ottawa?
No, I'm having fun with it. It's just listening, taking it all in. I'm excited to have the Red Blacks or an Ottawa team back in the CFL. I'm glad that it's the Red Blacks. I'm having fun with it. I think Desjardins made some silly-ass moves. But, you know, everything else is everything's kosher with them. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting season. John,
what do you think
great.
Of,
are
what do you
here?
Think of the new mascot?
Oop. I love him.
You do? Okay.
I do, personally. Stevie, what do you think of your mascot?
I've got no problems with Big Joe. I mean, it's you know, when it's a little bit, it's cliched, right? But then again, everything, you know, when you come to Ottawa, you know, you get your beaver tails, and you know, I'm down on the market, and so it's cliched, but really, that's, you know, if you think of Ottawa and the Ottawa River, lumberjacks, like my dad worked at a paper mill for 30 some years, and I had uncles who actually worked on the river with you know, like with, you know, logs, bringing logs in before they, you know, on these tugboats.
Log rolling.
Yeah, and I mean that is what, you know, until, you know, Queen Victoria may have made Ottawa the capital, but up until then, Ottawa was a lumber town, a rough and tumble lumber town, and that's all it was.
So quite frankly, it's very representative of the Red Blacks, the name as well. You haven't talked about that yet, but as far as the mascot's concerned, it's totally representative. The mascot represents what's in Ottawa's history, just like the Red Blacks is in place.
Yeah.
What the heck is that noise?
I think somebody's sprung a leak.
Somebody's
coming from me.
Oh, wow. Someone's being pretty immature, though, that's for sure.
maybe they're having a Slurpee.
No, I guess they're having a good time, a big laugh on it. But, you know, it's pretty immature, dude, whoever you're doing it, whoever's on the air right now. Let's cut that out. You know.
Hey, John, how are you?
Do you have a question for Stevie?
Well, yeah, Steve, listen, I'm wondering, what do you think of the Lansdowne configurations? Did you guys anticipate something different, or are you okay with what they – I mean, it's basically what they had before. How do you like it?
Yeah, okay. I like it, okay? I really like it. In a perfect world where you know, there's, like, money is not – there's no limits towards what you could spend, you know, it would have been nice to have, like – and I think probably any team would say this, they'd love to have, like, a Winnipeg stadium, right? I mean, I think that's, you know,
that's
the nicest of the new stadiums, right? And I know
something
Chris,
to envy.
Yeah,
I'd
that's
love
the envy.
Drive a Porsche.
What's that?
I'd love to drive a Porsche.
Exactly. But having said that, the south side stands had been thrown down, so that's not a retrofit. That's a rebuild.
Right.
And it doesn't look anything like the, you know, this, like the stands, like the north side stand. Or like the two stands like that you have at Ivor Wynne, you know, they're just like, you know, straight up, you know, like square.
Right.
I think, and I've heard that it's sort of like a part one of the stadium. There's a lot of room there to add to that stadium.
So potentially expand down the road.
Yeah, not the Bank Street side, because that's the western side. They're not going to be able to do much there, because they've actually put condominiums in there. Some people that are buying condos in there will have, if they're buying on the field side, will actually be able to sit on their balconies and watch the game from their condos.
Well, that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, but on the other side, if you look at the photos, there's actually like a little walking bridge. And it's like this little berm, like this, like a grassy knoll. That's totally open. And so I think it's expandable to, I think I heard 45,000 to 48,000.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, for the great cups.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah,
it's a totally different situation.
But I think what you have to do, though, you have to start off and say it's 24,000. Let's get it filled up. If we could get it filled up consistently. Well, I think any businessman would say, well, we're sold out, let's expand. But there's no point expanding now.
I don't think you're going to have a problem filling it up.
No.
I really don't.
No.
I think Ottawa fans, especially football fans, I mean, you guys supported the team when really you couldn't even call that thing on the field a team.
Nah.
You know?
They were always... You know? Like, I haven't seen a really good team in Ottawa since probably the J.C. Watts days.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know?
It's true.
And
it's
it was
true.
Still there was and even when they were at the worst, there was still 16,000-17,000 there every day, every game.
Yeah.
Even when they were like you know, 2-16 teams, you know.
But you can't support a team. It's hard within the CFL to have a consistent losing team and expect to have the support. But then again, you know, maybe we're running into different times. If the football's good enough, you know, in Ottawa, you guys got a real – the curse that you had is the Gleiberman's left you guys with a sour taste in your mouth. And the word around the rest of the CFL was basically that, you know, the Ottawa team wasn't exactly being run professionally. And wasn't, the way it was being run wasn't approved by the fans. So, you know, it was more than just a team that wasn't playing well, right?
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, even if the Cleveland, even if the team hadn't folded, that stadium was would have been condemned.
Yeah.
it would have. It was made out of wood.
I mean, the seats were made out of wood.
Yes, you know, it was concrete that was breaking. The concrete was bad.
Oh,
so they had to do something with the, you know. So if they would have continued with the team, they would have had to build a stadium anyways. So.
Right.
You know.
Thank God.
Hey,
well, it all worked out, right? It was all well worth the wait. You have a what looks like a pretty good team for an expansion team. Tell us a little bit as a fan, based on 1 to 10, compared to your knowledge of other expansion teams. Where would you say your expansion team fits in?
Okay, I'll compare them to the Renegades coming back. Okay, so that's the one and only other expansion team. On a scale of 1 to 10, the Renegades would have been a 4, and these guys would be a 6.5 to 7. As far as the talent on the field,
it sounds like you're being reasonable because I don't think anybody in the show here would disagree that Ottawa probably has the best start of any expansion CFL team. Outside of the ones that got to start with All-American teams.
Yeah, except for the Baltimore team.
Outside of those teams. You know, and in sports, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a cellar dweller, and if it is, it won't be by much.
Yep.
Now, who even asked the subject of Ottawa? Kelly, did we talk with you? Did you talk with us about the subject of Ottawa? What's on your mind as far as Ottawa is concerned?
Not really, actually. Nothing, guys. You guys touched on everything, I think. And maybe if Stevie could give us a prediction for the East standings this 2014 season.
Like anything else, predictions are just that, they're predictions.
Yep.
But I'm gonna go all out here. I'm gonna say that Hamilton's gonna be end up in first. It's gonna finish first.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's gonna be a pretty close 2 and 3. They're interchangeable. Ottawa, Montreal.
Wow.
And I think that Toronto is going to have a bit of a 2 steps forward, 3 steps back type of season. And
John, we got something to worry about, buddy.
I almost agree with you, Stevie. I just don't think Ottawa's going to be as strong against Montreal. But
yeah.
I do think they're going to hit the third place.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? All they need to do is to squeak in the playoffs, right? And then we know once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's taking a dump on Toronto. Amazing. It's crazy.
Well, you know what? It's always nice to enter into a season, a playoff, and a Grey Cup as an underdog.
Having said that, Toronto could finish in first place and going beaten, so who knows, right? So that's the beauty of the league. You just don't know, right?
I know one thing. They won't go unbeaten.
Nobody's betting money on that, though.
I don't think they'll be unbeaten. I'm a very hopeful guy, but unbeaten might be stretching it a little bit.
Hey,
that's all fair. Hey, listen, guys. It's before the season starts. Nobody's wrong. Until we get, you know, hey, look, like I said, we started the program by suggesting the teams are hopeful. Every so often I ask the guys to discuss how they think things are moving along for each team. I'll say this, in the past week or so, you know, considering the draft and that, one at a time, guys, how do you think things have changed for any particular team? Has any team caught your eye as far as making some moves that have, you don't have to say it's going to take them the first, but who's made moves in the past week that has improved their chances, and who has, if you were a fan of that team, whether you are or whether you're not, which ones do you think have dropped the ball a little bit in the past little while? And maybe we'll start with you, Stevie, as our newest guy in here. You were here a while ago, but it's nice to have you back, by the way. Let me say that.
Oh, thanks. Honestly, I really haven't been paying a lot of attention since the draft. But so I've sort of been quiet on.
You can include that. You can include that.
Well, from what I've read, I've been hearing that Edmonton has done a really good job on improving this year. But what that means, I have no idea. You know, are they going to go from a? Because what were they last year? 4-14.
Yeah, they weren't in the playoffs.
So the
question is this year, will they do better? Have they made moves? Have they been the best at making moves? I guess what you're saying is they've done pretty good at the draft maybe some free agents in recent times, in the off season.
Yeah.
How about you, Christopher? What do you see? What teams do you see are ramping it up, and which teams might be falling behind in the last short little while? And maybe why.
I mean,
you want to give us the why.
Everybody's kind of filling in the little voids that they got. Montreal picked up another quarterback, linebacker, defensive back. Toronto signed another quarterback, Casey Paschal.
Yeah.
And, to a 3-year contract, which kind of seems a little...
Aggressive
or hopeful or something like that. I mean, it's not guaranteed, so he doesn't even have to get out of camp and he's gone. But it just seems very hopeful there that they did that. Everybody seems to be doing what they need to be doing at this time of the year. And holding off a little bit on some of the bigger signings, I think, to find out what happens with the CBA. And I'm sure that there's some talks with a couple of players that are still free agents or still this or still that. And just holding off to find out what's going on. I know that Kieron Williams is trying to get back into BC, and we're not hearing anything at all about that situation right now. So I think that's just sitting on the back burner until after we find something up.
Somebody wants to see some money on the table first, right? No promises.
I'm talking to a bunch of the Lion guys who are scattered throughout the United States right now, and I says, when are you coming up to town here? You know, we're waiting for you guys to... get up here, because most of the training facility is full with all the local guys here. And I'm talking to Kareem Smith down in Florida a couple of nights ago, and he says, I'm just waiting for my ticket. The Lions haven't sent my flight information yet.
They're
and
waiting to see what happens with the CBA, I think.
Yeah, so everybody's kind of in limbo right now of, players aren't coming to town, teams aren't bringing them in, all of that kind of stuff. It's all hinged on this CBA. And it would be so nice to get this out of the way.
Yeah.
It really would.
I agree. Yeah.
John, how about you? Who's made some improvements in the last little while? Who hasn't?
I think BC, honestly. I think with Glenn, I know people are bad-mouthing him and all that stuff, but... And some not, but I think they got some pretty good reassurance there.
I think they got the best 1-2 punch, I think, now.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I know some disagree.
That's
if
Lule can raise his arm to throw a punch.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh. That's a low blow.
But you know what?
It's reality.
Yeah.
I'm not dissing anybody on that. Lule is not ready to go right now, and I said that last.
But the beauty of it is now they don't have to push the guy now. Now he could
exactly.
take all the time he needs, right?
Yeah. Well,
I think Glenn's going to play the first
two
games.
Yep. Until
they got Giles, too.
And then they have no choice.
Giles
That's
isn't
right.
coming to camp.
No?
No, nope. Giles is not coming to camp. That's over.
Yep. That's he didn't like with? The clipboard they assigned him.
Oh, that's
yeah.
too bad. I wanted to see him in action.
Oh, yeah, we all wanted to have a good laugh on that one, didn't we?
I don't know if that
was
wrong.
I like comeback stories, guys. I like comeback stories.
Yeah, so do I. So do I.
And if he can do that.
That's not a comeback story, man. That's climb the cliff.
Well, you know, he's an athlete, dude. He's a human being.
He was never that good
to
start with, okay?
Let's not just take a dump on the
guy. You can't come back from nothing.
Yeah, well. You know, he had a little bit of success here and there.
Giles caught a – hey, guys, come on. Let's be honest. Giles caught a bad break where he went and when he went there. I mean, you want to talk about going to a team that trades away a guy who's a Hall of Famer.
Best quarterback in the
league. Yeah.
And then the pressure of trying to make it
talk
make
about
sense.
Talk about a no-win situation.
Was just, in an organization that was dysfunctional all year.
Yeah.
He got tossed under the bus, let's face it.
He sure did.
Never mind the bus, he got tossed off the abyss.
He didn't get tossed under, Chris, but he sure found himself there, didn't he?
He went off the abyss, man. It was the long way down.
And you couldn't blame him for having a bad taste in his mouth going, you know, and then, I don't know, maybe he will end up in B.C. because, you know, Bono's a pretty good guy. And, you know, if he does continue, you know, heading to B.C. and does turn up there, you know, he's got basically an opportunity to be the backup there.
Yeah, we need don't forget, we need a couple of other guys in Ottawa. Like, I don't really think we're strong at number two.
Oh, come on, DeMarco. Thomas DeMarco.
Yeah, DeMarco,
Thomas DeMarco's a good quarterback. I don't know what you're talking about there.
Yeah,
I'd be happy to have you back in B.C.
I looked in the dictionary.
Would you want him as a number two, though?
DeMarco was actually in the – he had a picture. They had a picture of him.
Yeah, yeah.
He was our number two last year. I have no issues with him being a number two.
How did he do in a couple of games when he played? Do you remember what
he did?
He did great.
He did great.
Yeah.
Well, he was up and down, guys.
He was
up and down. He did. He had some bad moments. And Buck Pierce came in and cleaned up for him. But you know what? We did well when Lule was down.
Yeah, I saw in one of the videos he had quite a following there with him at the mini camp in Virginia. I guess a lot of his colleagues from his workplace came up and cheered him on. So that was kind of nice to see, you know.
He's another guy who was really thrilled to be picked up by Ottawa.
I think so.
Him and Glenn were on the – you know, you must have seen – DeMarco and Glenn on that video, not YouTube, but that Skype thing they did.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with Glenn, with Bruce, my wife and I were kind of laughing because my wife's not a really big football fan, but I got season tickets. She got herself a jersey. She got Henry to sign it. And then she says, oh my God, like she goes, he's, and I'm 52, right? And you know, if you see the photo, like, I mean, I'm with him. I got a photo with him. And this guy looks old. Like, he does not look like a young football player. This guy's got mileage on him, okay? But having said that, the guy has – how many games has he missed in the last couple of years? I think none.
Wow. Yeah.
So,
who?
You know, Burris.
Burris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But you're going to expect, you know, I'm expecting a lot, you know, he'll throw a couple of PDs and he'll throw three interceptions, right? And that's the type of season we're going to have. But
he'll fumble the ball 12 times.
But you know what? It's, you know, we're used, you know, it's going to be exciting football. Let's put it that way. I'm expecting
it's
6 to 7.
Football. You know, the good news,
wins.
No matter what it is, it's football.
Yeah, we're going to win
Stevie,
seven games.
You know what games. The good news is? You know what the good news is, Stevie? The detractors of Burris are going to eat a little bit of crow, and the only reason we're going to eat a little bit of crow when it comes to Burris is because I like his fight. You know, he has a lot of fight. He may not be everybody's cup of tea, but you know, we got a Hamilton fan in here, Bruce. I mean, he is a good quarterback. There's no doubt.
He's
about
not fooling
that,
around.
Right?
He sold his house in Calgary, and I saw there on. He had a Kijiji ad where he was selling his SUV. I guess he doesn't want to bring that over here, so he's trying to sell on the Kijiji in Calgary. And so he's bought a house in Ottawa, and he's moving the whole family. So this guy's pumped.
Yeah,
the team paid him $450,000.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
You guys are in for a bigger surprise than you think. You know, you're all crying.
He's a lot better than most
people
getting
old and all this. You know, 2 years in a row, man, he had the most passing yards in the CFL.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years in a row. Took his team to the Grey Cup this year. Well, last year we failed, but life goes on.
You know what? A few people have mentioned that 450, okay? Just as a face of a franchise for the first year.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I mean,
huge.
this guy in Ottawa right now, I'm from Ottawa. I'm not a transplant. I am from Ottawa.
Yeah.
I've been around like the sports stars in Ottawa. He is more popular than Daniel Alfredson was ever in all the years he played here in Ottawa.
Wow.
No.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Like
that's pretty high praise right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's rock. Right now he's getting rock star attention when he's in town. I mean, it's nuts.
Wow.
It's nuts.
So are you seeing a lot of Red Blacks gear around the city?
Oh, it's everywhere.
People.
It's
okay.
Everywhere. On the streets, it's in every store. It's in the Targets, it's in the Walmarts, it's in the Sports Experts, it's in every sports shop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I actually went and got some Chinese
stuff. Do they have any Argo stuff there, Stevie?
Yeah, they do, but very, very, you know, it's they're really pushing the Red Blacks. The Red Blacks actually opened up a brand new store right near the stadium on Bank Street, at Bank and Fifth. Because you know that part of town, right?
Yeah, no, I actually, you might remember a place called Fat Albert's. Remember Fat Albert's?
Yeah, you worked there, didn't you?
Yeah, I worked there.
Yeah.
I managed that place.
Okay.
Wow. I actually started the one at, what's it called? I started at the one at Bank and, where the Prime Minister lives. The mall? The street?
Sussex?
Yeah. Bank and Sussex, I guess. There was one there, a sit-down one.
Okay,
the one
yeah.
at Bank and Fifth made a lot of money just on football and all the other stuff. It was just a
it's
tiny
still there.
Little...
It's still there.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you
it's still there.
God.
It's still there.
I'm talking 25, 30 years ago, guys.
Yeah, it's still there.
Wow.
And I think
my wife just
yeah.
reminded me, 40. No, yeah. not 40. I'm not... Okay, 40.
Yeah, the subway, the Fat Albert's on the Bank and it's still there.
Hey, Steve, are you able to go to the practices that they have once they open up the stadium?
Yeah, all the practices are going to be open.
Awesome. Well, you know what? Another thing about Henry Booth, one of the most nicest guys you ever talked to. He will talk to you anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Like I said, I got to talk to him on the jersey unveil, but it was honestly, it was so... They sold out of black. The home black jerseys.
Wow!
You had to buy a white one, didn't you?
I bought two white ones, and my goal was I was going to buy a. My wife was going to get a white one, and I was going to get a black one, and then they didn't have any. They sold by the time I got in. I was in the back of the lineup. By the time I got to the table. They were out of the black and large.
Okay.
Wow.
Does anybody else have a problem here? They have a white jersey, they have a black jersey. Their name is Red Blacks.
No.
Is anybody else seeing a problem
here?
They're
probably going to come out with a red alternate
at
some point.
Yeah, the red's going to be their alternate, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they could have done a better job incorporating the red into the two jerseys you just referred to.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's just piping, though. They could easily fix that over, or, you know. They'll tweak that.
Yeah,
yeah,
and then they'll charge
you
another $200 to buy a new one.
That's how teams do well. You know what my wife said to me?
I own 25 Tiger Cat jerseys, so there you go.
That's what I was going to say. How many jerseys do you own, Bruce?
I know, bro. I know. And I'll buy another one this year, just the way I roll.
I think they'll probably do a lumberjack-style jersey for their alternate this year.
I wouldn't
be
surprised.
I'd buy one of those.
Yeah,
they will.
They'll do a red and black check kind of middle, and then they'll do something different on the sleeves.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing.
That would be so awesome. I would
be
buying that in a heartbeat. I only own one
cool.
BC Lions jersey, and I'd buy an Ottawa one. That's
sad. Maybe the marketing people are listening to the show right now. You never know.
Well,
you
I think I've
know.
Actually seen it in photos, guys, before. Like, I think it's in some of the Big Joe kind of, you know what I mean? Like, they'll do something like Big Joe's costume, I think, for their
I think so, too, yeah.
Yeah,
but I think
those
are just fans doing conception things, you know?
Yeah, that's what it is.
And we've seen
a lot of
people that are out there with Photoshop that are making things
exactly.
up.
Yeah,
something.
And it's quite funny to watch them. It was the same thing with the name, right? Because everybody had their favorite name. Most people would say, first of all, if we could have had Rough Riders, that's what we would have had. Most people would have liked Rough Riders. As silly as it sounds. I think if you would have asked most the average person, they would have said, "Let's bring back the Riders," right? Which we couldn't do. But even knowing that we couldn't do that, most people would have still preferred having that name. But we couldn't have that, and so everybody had a favorite name. So And so when they came out with this Red Blacks, people were like, well, you didn't choose my name. And, of course, they can't – I mean, they had like 50 names out there. So they had to go with – and the thing I liked about Red Blacks is that it was actually – it was the Rough Riders' nickname all along. They were called the Red and Black. That was the nickname of the team. Just that nobody really used it a lot, but that was the official nickname. So to me, it really is – Ottawa represents Ottawa very well.
I remember calling them the Eastern Riders for quite a
Eastern Riders,
while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or when we
well, we
the
used to call them the Ruffies.
Yeah. Or when you'd watch the games on CBC, the guy we used to always say the Green Riders and then the Black Riders, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saskatchewan was always the Riders, and the Ottawa was called the Ruffies.
The Ruffies, yeah.
Wow.
I think Ottawa was always referred to as the Rough Riders, the Green
the
Riders,
Riders,
or the Riders was
the
how
Riders,
I remember. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I remember. I remember how they split the difference.
Ottawa
they
was always the Rough Riders.
The Green Riders, the Rough Riders, and that was out of respect for Ottawa having the
for
name.
Ottawa,
for,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, guys, we're going to take a short break and then we'll come back and. I don't know what could we possibly put out there right now in regards to some audio clip. What should we? I don't know, something maybe. I don't know. I'm thinking Red and Black.
It is a first down for Ottawa. The football at the 24 of Saskatchewan. Clements coming back to throw again. Looking, gets all kinds of protection. Throws into the end zone for Gabriel. Touchdown.
In 1898, the Ottawa Football Club adopted the red and black of the Canadians that fought with Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders in the Spanish-American War. They also adopted the name. Et c'est à partir de ces débuts modestes que le rouge et noir a été associé à la ville d'Ottawa. The Carleton Ravens, Ottawa Fury FC, Ottawa 67s, and the Ottawa Senators have all adopted the colors and built their own history and traditions. Mais le rouge et noir se retrouve d'abord sur les chandails des équipes d'Ottawa dans la LCF, les couleurs de Russ Jackson et de Tony Gabriel. To all who have worn the red and black, à tous ceux qui ont porté le rouge et noir, who have battled on the gridiron on behalf of our great city, et qui se sont battus sur le terrain au nom de notre belle ville. We honor your tradition. Nous préservons votre tradition as we begin to forge our own. Et nous commençons à forger la nôtre. Like the blades that cut timber in the upper Ottawa Valley and the men who rode them down the Ottawa River past the locks of Bytown. We are balanced, dangerous, unstoppable. Nous sommes the Rouge et Noir d'Ottawa. We are the Ottawa Red Blacks.
One, two, three.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. One, two, three.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! There
we go. Hello, everyone. I'm Candid Frank Live and a member of the Argo Lifers, a fan supporter group of the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League. As a group, we have been dedicated to working hard at Argo games, screaming, yelling, and doing whatever it takes to distract the opposition in the CFL. Guess what? We have been noticed by many, including the Toronto Argonauts themselves. In fact, we have been noticed by you, the fans, as well. Even the players and coaches and all the Argo staff are pleased and appreciate our support. So much so that the season tickets are being offered to you, you, and you for next season for very close to half price. What do you have to do to share in this opportunity? Just use my name, Candid Frank Live Stanishi, when calling Argo sales rep Chris Andrioli at 416 416-341-2793. You heard it, nearly half price from Chris Andreoli at 416-341-2793. Just say Candid Frank Live Stanishi sent you. That number again, 416-341-2793. I hope I'll be yelling next to you in 2014. Argos!
That's right, Argos.
Well, now, you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, go, go. Woo!
Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
Well, we talked a little bit earlier about the fact that the Edmonton Eskimos and their GM coach are very happy, thrilled, in fact, with the way things have progressed thus far in the off season, in anticipation of a really good year. Chris Jones, not to be confused with our very own Christopher Jones, was... He mentioned on the media, because I think that he wanted to make sure that people understood that he did have some GM experience. He wasn't just a coach, even though the statistics that he carries around with him right now suggest that he has won his Grey Cups and had a very successful career based on being a defensive coordinator and not a head coach. But he did wear, as he said on CFL.ca, a few extra hats. And he had an odd position, which I've mentioned on this program before. He was the assistant GM, where Milanovic was not. And, kind of a confusing configuration for a management team. But regardless, he now finds himself in Edmonton as the head coach. And he's going to make decisions that he's going to have to live for. There have been decisions that he's made, that maybe didn't pan out so well here in Toronto, maybe even in Montreal. But the most important thing, I think, that we can talk about with Chris Jones, or about Chris Jones, is he does have a lot of experience, guys. I don't think Edmonton fans are blowing smoke if they suggest that their team is on an upturn, even though they're looking up at the tail feathers of the Esks. The Esks are looking at the tail feathers of Calgary, Saskatchewan, BC, and maybe even Winnipeg. And I'll start with my Argo buddy, John. And John, is it possible that Edmonton could really challenge? Let's start slow here, one step at a time. Along with Winnipeg, will they be able to challenge for a playoff spot in the West?
Well, Frank, I think it all starts with chemistry in the locker room, okay? And I just don't know if he's got that, all right. Chris Jones. He can get his defenses going, but to lead a whole entire team and get the chemistry going, he's got a history. I think Winnipeg has a better chance. I like who they got as the head coach there, and I think that guy's like a team guy. I loved him here in Toronto on special teams coach, and I think. Winnipeg, I think, is going to come out stronger than Edmonton this year.
How about you, Christopher? Any word on the Jones, Jones?
I think John Granger's biased.
Okay.
And that's okay. That's what happened in
Edmonton. He's looking at the history of what happened in Toronto, and that's cool. The biggest problem with Edmonton last year was their O-line. They couldn't protect Mike Riley to save his life. I mean, the man was in the weeds more often than not. They still were within 7 points of winning 80% of their games. Okay? Their 4-14, as I've said many times, was the best 4-14 season of any team in CFL history.
I agree.
5% improvement, and that team would have been in the playoffs. Okay,
so
what did they do?
They
picked up non-import offensive lineman Andrew Jones. They picked up Justin Sorensen in February during free agency. They acquired Tony Washington in the draft trade with Toronto, and they're going after what they needed to do. They grabbed another receiver to complement Fred Stamps. I don't remember the guy's name right now. But, you know, I think that they're if they can keep Mike Riley upright and give him some time to throw the ball downfield, they're going to rip it. They are going to make the playoffs this year. There is no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, let's be clear with what Christopher said.
I'm having problems with Winnipeg. You want me to finish or your?
No.
You,
I thought you.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
The only thing I wanted to touch base with was my opinion of Winnipeg.
Oh, well, no, we were just talking about Edmonton. We're just talking about Edmonton. John raised Winnipeg because he feels that Winnipeg will be further ahead than Edmonton. That's how Winnipeg got introduced into the question. To add to your point about the 5%, what I would suggest maybe a different way and make the same point because I agree with you. You know, if Edmonton could have scored an extra point or here or a point there or 2 points here or 2 points there, that was the margin of defeat for them. Through the whole year, they lost too many games. They lost too many games on the last play of the game. They lost too many games because they couldn't score a point at the end of the game. They were very close. They were very competitive. And I liked what I saw. And there was concern here in Toronto in the game that they came. They almost came back and beat Toronto. And I understand John's opinion. What he was saying there was basically, if you want to add it, John, what you're trying to say is that they scored a lot of points because they're so far behind. But still, at the end, at the buzzer, they were a lot closer than they were further. So, you know, that bodes well for them. If they can make, like you said, Christopher, a 5% scoring improvement, a 5% better defense, you'd be surprised how much of a difference that'll make. And I'm on board with you on that. How about you, Kelly? What do you think of Edmonton's fortunes this year? Do you think that you know they've made enough moves to maybe even you know be in the hunt for a playoff?
Yeah, they. You know, I mean, let's talk about the hunt. I mean, the hunt is a crossover with Ottawa as well that you have to consider, and you're talking about you know maybe 6, 7, maybe 8 wins to get into the playoffs. So, yeah, they're in the hunt, but I just kind of think it's like the rate of inflation has a lot to lend to the conversation because, you know, it's how much have they improved. And I don't think they've inflated to where, you know, they've risen above what they did last year. Like, you're talking about additions like O-line. Those guys, you know, they could take up till Labor Day to gel as a unit. You know, I've maintained all along that Edmonton's problems are at the top with the Board of Governors and the general manager. And until they can fix these things, I really can't see them having much success. And it's sad because I want
to keep... That's okay. Yeah, you're entitled to that opinion. You're entitled to that opinion. But will you at least... would it not be a fair statement to suggest that Chris Jones is not the same guy that was coaching last year in Cavis Reed? We're talking about a guy who had limited experience coaching, if any, and compare him to a guy who's very long in the tooth in experience coaching. We're not going to hear those comments from the press box that interfere with the gung-ho team approach like we saw last year.
I'll address that, and I think Cavis Reed is actually the better head coach, and I think what you're thinking of is the fact that Chris Jones is the better coordinator because he is the better defensive coordinator. He's a genius on that side of the ball, but he hasn't proven that he can do it at the HC level. And really, I think Cavis was the scapegoat there this offseason.
Yeah, but listen, you can't ignore the results that Cavis Reed came up with. You can't
yeah, I know.
Say he was that great
he's young in his
with
career,
the record
though.
That he had.
I know, but I'm just saying he has the record.
You want to take Kelly on this one?
Yeah, I actually wanted to take on Christopher's point about the offensive line, and I know people think they made upgrades. Let's break down what they did. Andrew Jones was a backup who's never proven anything so far in the league. Justin Sorensen was one of the issues in Winnipeg, and he was one of the problems. That's why he left. And so that's not an upgrade. Thirdly, you bring up Tony Washington. Tony Washington is a guy that was a healthy scratch for half of the season for Toronto. And when the Anthony Coombs trade was made in the draft for that third pick, Barker basically told Edmonton, who do you want on our team? We'll give it to you for that pick. And they said Tony Washington. And that tells you a team like Toronto that needs O-line help was more than willing to part with Tony Washington. That says enough for me. And so I don't see what these supposed O-line upgrades are. That, as far as I can tell, they didn't really do anything other than shuffling the chairs on the Titanic. Not really. I mean, honestly, what are you talking? I mean, if you're talking about Sorensen, I personally am thrilled as a Bomber fan that he's gone, because that guy was a matador, in my opinion. I mean, he was just letting guys fly by. But that's neither here nor there. But when it comes to Chris Jones, you know, the thing that stands out for me is when Scott Milanovich said something after the Eastern Final in 2012 where he was like, at halftime break, you know, he's never witnessed a coach challenge and motivate his players more than what he witnessed Chris Jones did at that halftime break. And if you guys remember, defensively, the Argos totally shut down Montreal in that second half, and it was one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen. But I think he has what it takes, and I think what's going to happen, and if you notice the press conferences, that him and Hervey clearly do not like one another. You can just tell there's just a vibe between those two, even when you see them interact. And I think what Chris Jones has his eye on is he wants to do what John Hofnagel and Wally Buono did, which is be the general manager and the head coach.
You can add me to that. I agree with that soon as he went there. I said that as soon as he went there. He wasn't going there to be just the head coach.
Oh, no. Yeah, no doubt. And I think Hervey basically signed his own death sentence by bringing in the guys he did. The O-line guys he brought in, none of those guys are going to make an impact, none. And I'm telling you, Jones is thrilled. He's more than happy to throw this year away if it guarantees Hervey's out and he steps in and is the man. And to Kelly's point about the leadership, I think Leon Rose, their CEO, I think he does a great job. From a fan's, you know, standpoint, the way they invest into the game day experience, into their stadium, into their facilities, is second to none in the whole league. He's just a guy that hires guys that he thinks are good enough, but they're letting him down. But from his end, as far as taking care of the business aspect and the fan experience and taking care of all the stuff for the players, I think the Edmonton is one of the best in the entire league at doing that. So I think that once Hervey's gone and Jones takes over and he's running the show, in 2 years Edmonton will be back in the playoffs. But next year it's going to be a total grease fire. They'll be lucky to be finished, you know.
Isn't this a fair statement?
Yeah.
They're still suffering from the vestiges of the bad trade they made. The Ricky Ray to Toronto, you can talk about conspiracy, you can talk about all that crap, but really what it comes down to, the absence of Ricky Ray and what they got for him didn't pan out, and it really was a crippling trade to that organization in more ways than one.
Well, it depends how you look at it, Frank. They got rid of Ricky Ray. It all goes back to 2010, which is how Edmonton hosted the Grey Cup in 2010 in the first place. They got a loan from Brayley to cover the money for the bid. That's how they got it. Thus, they made about $9 million on that transaction. And then you turn around, they had to pay back Brayley, didn't have the money at the time. Thus, Ray got sent to Toronto. So from a financial standpoint, they benefited. Clearly on the field, it hurt, but big picture, I think they'll be okay, honestly, because I think Ray was more than willing to leave, and eventually things got to change. So, I don't know.
How about
they got a guy, Mike Riley?
I cannot argue with Manasseh on any point he just made.
Okay,
he's bang on.
Well,
anybody else want to jump into the fray on the Edmonton subject?
Like, I want to talk about the fans' experience in Edmonton. That is nothing that is new in Edmonton. As you know, my mom was born in Edmonton, and we used to travel there every summer, so I caught at least 2 Edmonton games a year all my life. And the fan experience has always been wonderful there. You couldn't be more right about how they've actually, you know, continued to do those types of right things. It's a great place to watch a football game, despite what people say about Commonwealth and, you know, the distance from the action and stuff like that. The atmosphere is second to none.
The yellow and green, as we talk about teams in general, you know, we talked a lot about the Eastern Ottawa team, and now we're talking about the Edmonton team. And from time to time, I'd like to concentrate on each team, guys. And, you know, we've got lots of time to talk about these teams individually and get into detail. We had John, and then what about you, Bruce? Do you want to talk about Edmonton? Is there a comment that you'd like to throw in for Edmonton?
No, just a comment in general on all and all the teams. Everybody's got the same equal opportunity, man, come game day. Right? These guys are, you know, let me talk for a couple minutes here. These, as a, just as a fan, not that someone that follows stats and all this other crap. As a fan. No, I'm just saying, as your Joe Blow fan,
you
know, not like us that we get together, you know, as your Joe Blow fan, just sitting out there listening to this. These guys are professional athletes. They've supposedly played the game for a few years before they came to the CFL, hopefully. So why can't they all gel? They all know their position. They've all played their position before, whether it was in high school, college, university, whatever. I don't understand why everybody, especially when there's only 9 or 10 teams,
Bruce,
everybody's
let me
got
try
the same
this,
equal.
Let me try this
Hang on,
way.
Let me finish.
Yeah.
Everybody's got the same equal opportunity at the beginning of the year. That's how I see
yeah,
it.
I hear you. But, Bruce, how about, you know, take the experience that you've experienced in Hamilton with the, you know, the coming in of a well-respected GM, former quarterback, Hall of Famer, all that wonderful stuff. Is there anything you see possible, possibly in Edmonton, that can be copying or repeating? Do you see any of that improvement with the guys that they brought in, Chris Jones? You know, and they brought in some other coaches and stuff. You know, they got rid of a coach that wasn't getting along with the GM. Do you see that, you know, like you said, these guys all have training. Important, how important was Austin, and how important can Chris Jones be to Edmonton?
I think Austin was important, but I think before we had George Cortez, Marcel Bellefay, whatever you pronounce his last name is, I'm sorry about that, coach.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. You know, I don't think he was given his opportunity. He took us to the playoffs every year that he took over, and then he was just yanked. You know, and he went to where did he go to after that? Winnipeg, I guess. Took a year off and went to Winnipeg.
No, I think he went. I think he taught. Wasn't he at Ottawa U?
Yeah, he was at
Ottawa U.
For 1 year, isn't he?
Yeah, for three years.
He's Winnipeg's offensive coordinator now.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's
but you know that
and
now that you said we have Coach Austin in here, you know, like I said, he did the best he could last year from what he had in his first year coming in. So this is going to be his team to gel. He's brought in a new quarterback, which I think he wanted from right to get-go, because you got to figure Burris is a veteran. He's going to be used to doing it his way. He's not going to, he didn't want to go into a whole new throwing scheme. You know, he was used to what he had. And now that Zach Galeris has, you know, a few games underneath his belt, I think he'll be a lot easier to gel. But we're not talking about Hamilton. I'll wait until we talk about Hamilton. But like I said, I just believe every team has the same opportunity in the beginning of the season, and we'll go from there. So I'm going to say the same for every team.
And it's important. I mean, you know, I really believe that coaching, like you said, these players have been playing football all their lives. If they don't know how to play the game by now, there's no hope for them. You know what I mean? Yeah, I get you, and I'm repeating what you're saying and saying that I agree with you. And, you know, but unfortunately, they have to have a leader in a coach and a GM that puts the right pieces together. And the most important thing, and I think it's overlooked a lot, maybe not, but I think it's overlooked a lot, it's not always about talent. You know, talent's very important, but it's also the team aspect. Football, more than any other sport, requires, and I'll use an Argonaut term, it needs a good ship, you know. They all have to be pulling together, right, John?
It needs chemistry.
And chemistry,
that's
all. Right? And you know, and that's what makes a team win. You know, there wasn't that much difference between the team that was handed to Milanovic and him winning the Grey Cup. It didn't take long for him to win the Grey Cup. He did it in his first year. And Austin came very, very close to doing it, too. And leadership is very important. So that's why I asked about Edmonton. We're talked out of Edmonton. We'll take another break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask each of you guys to pick a team to talk about and let us know what you think of those teams when we come back after this very, very short break.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go. Woo! Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Cancel the Rouge Radio part.
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
You know, hopefully there's Aspen on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch? Injuries? I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh? CFL. We play by our own rules. Why do you think it takes you guys four downs to get 10 yards? We only need three up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, you know, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
Yeah, they give us one just in case.
I love four downs. First down, second down, third down, you know, fourth down.
You're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, you know, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, you know. That would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh, can I take him home?
I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
You know?
It's a whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little. CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
Yeah, go Canada. And it just so happens May 2-4 weekend. Yeah. Why do they call it May 2-4 weekend? Why did they just call it May 24th? I don't get the May 2-4 part. He said jokingly, we all have the answer to that. It's like I have friends from the U.S., if I can take a minute, not to make fun of Americans, but probably Manasseh probably is aware of this, but I love when they say, you have milk in a bag? Yes, we do. You have milk in a bag? Yeah, I say yes,
we do.
You
guys still have that back in Toronto? We don't have that on the West Coast.
Oh, you don't have that on the West Coast?
It's gone. 25 years ago, it's gone.
We don't use plastic in Western Canada.
do you guys don't have milk bags of milk either, Kelly, in Saskatchewan?
No, not at all. I mean, they've been gone for 15 years, but I remember them.
Yeah, at least longer, probably.
Well, it works fine for us, and we also have, I guess I'm going to have to wonder if you guys have what we have here, and I have American friends that came here, and they love their beer, and they said, you have a what? I said, we have a beer store. You mean they only sell beer there? Yeah, we have a beer store.
You do?
They thought that was amazing. You have a liquor store?
That's
you don't
amazing.
Sell, now we don't sell liquor everywhere. We just sell it in a liquor store. You buy beer in a beer store, and I just think it's funny, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Manasseh, our beer is sold at a government-controlled distribution. So if you want to buy beer, you have to go to the beer store, which is run by the government. So the guy that's at the cash that's handing you your change when you pay for your beer is like a government employee making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year.
Wow.
Great.
I'm going to go get a job at the beer store.
Which is why in a city like Ottawa, which is a border town, we border to Quebec, no one in Ottawa buys their beer at a beer store. I mean, the real beer drinkers. So I'm not a huge beer drinker, so you know, for the little bit of beer that I buy, I don't run over to the Hull. It's just not worth my while. But the real, like my brother Mike's a beer drinker. he buys his beer on the Quebec side because he drinks beer.
Hull.
It's like, wow.
That's why
Hull,
they call it Bytown. That's where
it.
They go buy their beer.
They go buy their beer, yeah.
Got
well,
to
40
know.
Years ago when I went there,
know.
Big Thrill was buying
got
a quart
know.
Of beer.
A quart?
Yep.
Yeah.
When I was there, they were selling quarts of Molson, Brador.
Yeah, they sell quarts now here, too, like in the taverns. You can still get
do
quarts.
They?
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
Even in Ottawa, you could get a quart. Yeah.
Yep. You didn't get a bottle of beer. You got a quart of beer.
You get a quart of beer, yeah.
And they're open until
wow.
in Quebec. They're
and
at
if
one
you go to Hull,
open,
they'll ask you, do you want a, do you, a big beer or small beer?
And then they opened up again at 7. So you'd order two beers at 4 and stretch them till 7 in the morning.
That's right.
and like you said, you notice he said it. They have real beer drinkers there. Okay, listen, Steve, I'm going to give you a chance to start, but you can't talk about Ottawa. I want you to pick another
team. I've talked enough about Ottawa.
No, that's cool. No, but I don't want you to talk about
We've talked enough about
on.
Ottawa's 14
well, you know
and, four, and 4 season.
I'll save
go
you.
Ahead.
You and I will go last, and we'll pick the team, whatever teams are left. So we'll start with Manasseh, who Manasseh, are you going to go Winnipeg and leave Kelly with Saskatchewan?
Yep, sounds good.
Tell us why Winnipeg's going to have a great year.
Okay, now, everyone talked about the O-line in Edmonton. I'll give you an example of why Kyle Walters is a great GM. Instead of going with these older veterans that have been nothing but just mistakes and proven that they can't perform, he went young, getting guys like Patty Newfield from Saskatchewan, a 25-year-old. They drafted Matthew Gosson, a 22-year-old at center. They brought in their first-round draft pick from 2 years ago, Tyson Pencer, to play right tackle, and he's 24 as well. So they went young Canadians. They have 4 starting Canadians with Glenn January as an import at the left tackle. So with that, that's the foundation for any good team, and I like his moves. I like him, you know, from just his whole – the way his vision for the team, and I think the Bombers heading down the right path, so – you'll be
the
surprised.
Big question
everyone's
is,
writing
well,
off Winnipeg, but they'll be in the playoffs.
Will Willie succeed?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he's got more than enough weapons. Any quarterback looks good behind a good O-line. If you have a good O-line and you have solid receivers, all you got to do is get the ball out of your hands and they'll make it happen for you. So he's got enough.
Kelly, I know you can throw your dime in behind your team, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And
why are they going
to
have a good
year? Well, and to Manasseh's point, I think Winnipeg will do great too, but I think success to them is hosting a playoff game. I think that's kind of what I've heard from their fans is that that's success to them this year.
That'd be a pretty good move. That's
sure.
Second place in the Western Division.
Yeah,
ain't
going to
happen.
That's success to them is what they're saying. But anyways, you know, a lot of people would be happy with less, obviously. But Saskatchewan, I think we've made some additions, you know, kind of on the cheap that actually will end up probably being the key additions. Manasseh's highlighted the receiver quite a few times, Chaz Schillens. There's another guy that I've mentioned before. It's Ryan Smith out of University of North Dakota State. It's looking pretty good as far as replacements go, and that's the big story for Saskatchewan is can they keep going, having lost 22 guys now at this point? So, congratulations to Winnipeg for picking up Jiro Kowale from Saskatchewan as well, who we released recently. That's a good pickup. He's Canadian, non-import anyways. So, anyway, thinking Saskatchewan will probably just kind of remain in the same type of contention as they were last year. I think a lot of people underestimate their defense. I think we already have our 5 starting DBs, and we've brought in a ton of new guys like Troy Stoudemire and, you know, a couple guys in the linebacking core as well, Morty Ivey, and a couple bigger guys looking like middle guys. So I think we've really brought in guys on the cheap, and we've got some money to spend down the stretch should Dressler or Sheets want to come home. I think Dressler's down there for a year or two. Sheets probably be back.
Now, let's see. Okay, Chris Duffer, BC Lions.
Yes, dear. Want me to hit BC Lions?
Yeah.
Sure, I can hit the Orange Lions. I think we're putting ourselves, setting ourselves up quite nicely. As I said, we got the best 1-2 punch in it behind center. Lule and Glenn are going to do it very nicely. I'm very pleased with that. We have the three best linebackers in the league, and I know Manasseh is going to argue with me.
and we'll save that for a little later in the show.
Yeah. Defensive line is coming together. We're missing one piece. It's going to rock. It's going to annihilate. The D is doing solid. We could pick up a new DB or two that would be nice, possibly even a free safety. Not or four. Mind yourself when I'm talking.
Why not just not listen to him and carry on?
Yeah,
don't acknowledge
I'm sorry. Because
he's just being a dickhead. And it's really pissing me off. Okay. Okay. He just needs to shut up. Okay.
You know what?
Offensively, I think we're rocking. Manuel Arsenault is coming back from a very serious injury that he received when he was in the NFL, and he finally had surgery in the off season. I was talking to him the other day. He is 110%. He says he's way better than when he went down south before. So hopefully that's it. He's a couple of years older, a little more mature, a little bit smarter. As receivers, I think we're very set. We're not going to miss Nick Moore. I just said a 1-2 punch coming out of the backfield with Stefan Logan and Andrew Harris. Yeah. Good luck. We're going to the Grey Cup.
What about your
is
O-line?
Is John
I'm
in
ignoring
here?
That.
Well, that's his answering machine then. I got John's answering machine.
Yeah.
John gone?
Yeah, I lost him.
Yeah.
And I called him back, so he's probably listening. He'll listen to this on his answering machine. Okay,
I wouldn't mind an Art Goals update, especially when it comes to the ownership group. At some point,
we don't have one. Nothing's going to happen, Stevie. Nothing's going to happen until
they
sign.
Well, you keep on saying it has to be once the basketball's over. Now it's like, well, now let's wait till
the
NHL playoffs are over.
No, no, no. The logic is this. The league does not want to bring in MLSC until they sign the agreement with the players, because that'd be just like, you know, the TSN contract. It'd be a positive move the players could point to and use as a negotiating chip, right?
Okay.
So they're not gonna, until the negotiations are over and done, the ownership of the team won't be announced. I believe it's gonna happen the moment pretty soon after they'd sign off sooner with the, you know, with the agreement.
Do you think MLSC are sitting in on these meetings as of that are ongoing now?
No,
because I happen to think that the point
they
is
can't.
There. Well, MLSC's in regardless, but let's just say that they want to get the best possible deal, you know, and no one can't argue the fact that MLSC is buying in low with the CFL. I think there's going to be a resurgence in the CFL. That, you know, the writing's on the wall with the negotiations going on now. It's only a matter of seeing what kind of cost certainty for what length, you know, for what term the league can get it. That's all that matters right now. That's all they're looking for. Just they want to figure out what the term is and what the deal is. And MLSC isn't involved in the day-to-day discussions at all. So from there, we'll go. I was going to have John talk about the Argonauts. I'll see you again if he's there. John, are you there? John? Well, it's got to be his answering machine. So anyway, I guess I'll talk about the Argonauts. Did I leave anybody out yet? Oh, yeah, you. Okay, you said what you wanted to say there, so we'll leave it at that. The Argonauts right now are in a position where, bluntly, I think they're waiting for the negotiations to end so that they know exactly what they can spend and where they can spend it. Mr. Barker doesn't go after wing and a prayer. He goes after quality guys that might cost a little extra money and have to offer, like he did recently, a 3-year contract. And as Christopher mentioned, contracts aren't guaranteed in the CFL, but it's there if the guy plays. And, as far as I'm concerned, we've got a quarterback, one of the best in the league, and I think by saying that, I think nobody would argue that point. Is he injury prone? Well, the last couple of years, he's taken a couple of dents, and you know, we all know that the older you get, the easier it is to get dented. And the real important thing for a quarterback, we've all mentioned it here, the offensive line and how clean you can keep the quarterback's jersey. You know, every time it gets dirty with Ray, you know, the odds on him getting hurt, he's one of the guys in the league that, you know, could come up lame because of a heavy hit due to his age and maybe even his history.
Yeah, but that's just recently, though, because in Edmonton he didn't get hurt that much.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, history is what history is. You can do what you want, say what you want about it. I'm not going to argue with you. You're right. But I'm just saying the last couple of years that he's been with the Argos, he's had, you know, each year he's had a problem that he's had to overcome physically. We've been fortunate enough last year to have a backup quarterback who basically, you know, picked the team up or held the team up or kept what Ray had going, which is great. My biggest concern as an Argo fan is at the running back position. I understand that the experts in this group believe that Coombs is a great young guy, and they've also brought in Slater, who's another great running back. So, you know, I think those are key positions, and I do believe that there's a bounce back year for Chad Owens. If he can, he did not have a Chad Owens year last year, and if he can have a Chad Owens year this year, that'll go a long way to helping the Argos compete for home field advantage in the playoffs. Maybe even being able to sit at home and play the Eastern Final at the Sky Dome, the Rogers Center, or whatever. So yeah, it is what it is. You know, it's going to be fun being a part of what's going on. I just wish they would get this darn contract signed with the players so we can, you know, we can really concentrate, you know, concentrate about playing, concentrate about knowing we're going to the, you know, we're going to go enjoy some of the practices, something the CFL does that, you know, if I can step aside from the Argos at this point and talk about the CFL in general, there is no other football league. Well, when you compare it to the NFL, you can't just walk onto the field and talk to the star quarterback in the NFL. But you can do that in the CFL. The proximity of fans to players at practice is incomparable probably with any league. And it's a great selling point for the fans to buy into the league. And I think it also rubs the players the right way, too, because I happen to think that down deep, they want to you know, enjoy the fans and listen to the fans and let the fans know that they appreciate the fact that they get to play pro football because of them. That, I don't think that's something that anyone, given the opportunity, will, you know, will snub their noses at. And, Stevie, I'll give you a chance to talk about a team. Is there a team you'd like to talk about for reasons of success or impending failure?
Well, I've always kind of said I'm a big parity guy, so I love it when all teams do well. And I've always kind of thought a really fun year would be if every team ended up being 9-9. I think that would be a really fun year. But, I mean, that's never going to happen. But I think on paper, I think it would really be good if every team was just even Steven. But that's not going to happen. But, you know, there's always a couple
of... That would be scary.
It'd be scary,
I'm thinking heart attack.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm going to say I'd like to see Winnipeg do really well, you know, with their new stadium. I think they're due for, you know, a season. I think Edmonton, really, they're going to go as far as Riley and Nichols go. I think if any of those two guys get hurt, I think that's going to be it for that team. And another question I'm going to throw out to you guys, if Edmonton ended up by the seventh or eighth week, if they were 2-6, who gets fired? The GM or the coach?
We went over that.
Herbie's gone.
We went over that.
Okay.
It'll
so Herbie goes.
GM.
Okay.
Herbie's gone and should go.
Okay. And then the other one, I'm going to go back to the East. I'm really looking forward to seeing Zach Collaros. And I was a big fan of Flutie, and I see a little bit of Flutie in Collaros. No, I didn't see a lot. I see a little bit. I'm not going to anoint the guy the next Doug Flutie, but there's some Flutie-ness in his attitude and his play. Now, it's one thing to see the guy playing as a. It's one thing to see the guy. What's that?
Where you magically make something.
Exactly. Yeah. It's one thing to see the guy as a backup. It's one thing to come in as a backup, like he did last year, and he did really well, especially those road games. But what's it going to be like when he's now the number one, playing in front of his home crowd? That's a totally different thing.
It is a totally different thing.
Yeah. So it'll be really interesting to see. Not only that, I think there's a lot of pressure on him because I think Bruce mentioned a while ago. You guys said that Burris didn't seem to get along with that with the head coach. They didn't seem to still like each other that much.
Well,
whether they did or not, who knows? But you know,
that was obvious.
Yeah, it was. You know, from what you know on the sidelines, you know, it was obvious that they didn't get along. So I think the pressure is on both the coach because basically the coach got rid of a really good quarterback by letting him go by making him available, not protecting him at the draft. So they put all their eggs in that one Zach Collaros basket. So it'll be really interesting to see how that kid, start that season off. I think he's going to start. I think he has to start with a couple of wins because if not, it could be a pretty long season.
On that score, I'm a firm believer that what he did that sold him on Austin was that 4-game winning streak. On the road, yeah. I don't know how much pressure you want more than that, especially when you consider, if you listen to the guys in this group, the Argos in the East, at least in recent memory, have been very weak. So I think it's fair to say that Collaros went into the lion's den, no pun intended, when he went out west to play in Saskatchewan and in BC and Calgary. And
he
showed.
He didn't play in BC.
Oh, he didn't play in BC?
I think he played in Edmonton. Yeah. Was one game.
Was
Winnipeg?
The 4 games he did was.
He took
Edmonton,
Calgary,
Saskatchewan.
He took that.
And
yeah,
Montreal.
That's right. He did not take a game.
And Montreal.
Take a game in BC. Montreal. Yeah.
In Montreal.
Yeah. The fourth game.
But Chris, you remember what he did to BC in that game at Toronto? His debut.
Without question, I'm not dissing Zach.
He did play
Collaros at all.
Yeah.
He did, but it wasn't in BC.
Yeah, okay. Well,
yeah,
whatever.
It was that Tuesday nighter in Toronto.
We only lost one game last year in BC, and that was to Saskatchewan.
Well, the point is,
we were 8-1
aside, nobody's slamming any team. We're just all I was trying to point out.
No, not at all.
Is that this
I understand.
This kid, Dave. Whether it's BC and Toronto or BC
I like
and BC.
Them.
You guys have always talked about how inferior the Eastern Division has been, and this kid plays in an Eastern Division and plays that well with his Eastern team in Western towns Western
he's
teams.
He's a rock star. Nobody's
right?
just debating the fact he's a rock star.
Yeah, no.
Is whether
question,
or not he can keep the magic
is,
up.
The only question is there enough film on him for defenses to defend against him? There weren't any in the short term. The question will be, and I think Stevie, you're alluding to it by suggesting that Austin's putting all his eggs in one basket. But I can tell you this: these guys in here are going to remind you as well. And it's too bad Mike Townsend isn't here because he would tell you that Hamilton has some other quarterbacks that they brought in.
Brought in a couple of American guys, right? NFL guys, right?
If Collaros stumbles. There are people there that can pick it up. I don't know, unless you guys disagree.
It all depends how quickly they pick up the CFL game.
No, they have existing guys too, man.
No,
can't
guys are there now, Stevie. They got guys there now, Stevie, that and there's a guy there in the weeds that he brought from college. He took from where did he come from? Saskatchewan? And then he ended up here. He brought him to Hamilton. He knows
he was
him
from
college.
Old Miss,
and
there was a number
sleeper.
Who But there was a number three guy that was already there last year. I remember Mike saying that he didn't have much of an arm. I can't remember the guy's name now.
That's
Lefevre.
What? Come again, Manasseh?
Lefevre, the guy
Dan
that plays.
Lefevre. He's a great runner. He's sneaky, but I don't think he's got much of an arm.
Well, yeah, you guys don't have to worry about the backups because he's going to, you know, Zach Collaros will be the most outstanding player in the league next year. That's a guarantee.
You know,
if you guys remember, because in 2007 when Ken Austin was coaching Saskatchewan, he took a quarterback in Kerry Joseph who has a very similar game to Collaros, and he turned Kerry Joseph into the most outstanding player, and they won a Grey Cup.
If
you look at Kerry Joseph's career, after he left Austin, he was never the same guy.
No,
so Austin knows how to take mobile quick QBs and take them to the next level. So I think Collaros is almost guaranteed. He's a slam dunk, man.
Yeah, and he listens to the coach. He does his homework.
The combination of Austin and Collaros is dynamite.
Oh yeah, Hamilton is going to dominate the league next year. That's no question. They're going to be all over everyone.
You know, we predict BC to do the same thing in the Western Division, but you know, knowing what we know about Lule, you know, they're gonna have some struggles off the bat, but they'll pick it up, I guess.
But you got to remember that Glenn, you're talking about Glenn as a backup now, had the best winning percentage the last two seasons.
He's got a brand.
That was more a byproduct of Calgary's overall talent than Glenn's actual performance.
Yeah, and he's got a brand new playbook to learn in like a month and a half.
Yeah.
He's got something to prove too, though.
DC's going to have to run the ball a lot. I think if they're going to win with Glenn, they're going to have to use the running game to help him win. Otherwise, I don't know, man. I'm kind of worried. If I'm a BC Lion fan, I'd be kind of worried, man, because I think
not in the slightest, Manasseh. We have the two best running backs
now,
in the league.
We'll see it by week four, what you're saying.
You know what? You said we got to run the ball. We can run the ball.
Right.
The best thing BC could do, Chris, is start the season 0-5.
We've done that before, bro.
I know that.
Right.
Yeah. You're almost guaranteed you'll win the cup. Yeah.
At home again, too.
That's what I'm saying. This is kind of, you know, shaping up to be one of those years, you know. I think so. They're going to face that adversity early, and you'll see it play out throughout, June and July.
All right, I got a quick question for you guys. Assuming if the CBA doesn't get settled and there's a delay in the season, okay, and everything gets pushed back, 2-3 weeks, so the question is, What happens? What do you guys think is going to happen? Are they going to cut out the preseason games?
We're going to have a truncated season.
So will they do the two preseason games and a shortened regular season, or will they just drop the two preseason and just start the season? Do you think they'll drop the preseason for sure.
They'd have to.
Yeah.
Preseason is about 23 days, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
That's including the
preseason
week with the QBs.
Right.
Preseason games are expendable.
Chris,
did you say, hang on a second. Chris, you did say, I think I heard you say what I was thinking. I didn't get a chance to get it out. That they would extend the season if there was.
They can't extend the season.
The season will be truncated, is what I said.
Yeah.
There's no extension to the season. There's no additional games being played. If we lose a week of football, we lose a week of football. It is not being recovered. They've already
said
that.
It couldn't be scheduled at the end of the season.
We got a Grey Cup game. We cannot beat the date of the Grey Cup game.
I get you. I'm just trying to make a point here for the listeners. Okay.
If we lose week one, we've lost week one.
Okay, so he asked the question, and the answer to the question is that the game will go on, but it will go on a schedule, which, what I want to get at, does that not put a lot of pressure on the CFL and the Players Association not to do that? Because I really believe it would be irreparable, that kind of behavior. If they cost any games during the season, that would cause a lot of grief. And a lot of bad PR. And
okay,
I think
the first...
both parties are up against it to get this thing going. The worst thing that could happen is we lose a preseason game. And I don't think we'll lose two. I think we'll just lose one. That's the worst case scenario.
The first preseason
question.
Game is June 9th. The last one is June 20th.
Right.
You can pound out a CBA in 48 to 72 hours. If they don't start training camp on June 2nd, June 1st, where it's supposed to be, and they actually drag it out to the 9th of June, somebody needs a serious slap, okay? Because they would be able to call this off before they wreck their training camp. If we lose a preseason game, the Toronto and Winnipeg game on June 9th, that will be the only game we lose.
That's right.
Because if they haven't got their shit together by then we're going to lose the entire season.
Yeah, but they can't have one team.
And we won't lose the entire season.
Can't have one team playing one less preseason games. If they cancel the first week of preseason, all the teams have to lose that one game. You can't have one team.
I don't agree with you. Because
they can reschedule that one because it's an early by itself standalone game. So it's okay.
Okay.
But I don't think they will.
I mean, you got to be careful because Winnipeg plays on the 14th in Calgary. And if you're going to reschedule the Toronto-Winnipeg game, which is on the 9th, because plays twice in the first week.
Mm-hmm.
They play on the 9th and the 14th, 5 days apart.
Wow.
Because they've got the bye in preseason week C, right, which is the 19th to 20th. That weekend, Winnipeg does not play. Because everything's got to buy, right?
Right.
We've got 9 teams now, so it's not even.
I think what John said last week about them settling this thing about halfway through training camp. I think that's our realistic goal here.
Training camp if the deal's not made though.
Of the outstanding issues. If they can actually get the cash. Training camp will happen on good faith.
While they're working out the other details.
At the end of the day, you have to remember, like, the league and the commissioner in particular, they're under huge pressure because all these new ownership groups bought in, whether it be in Ottawa, Calgary, obviously Toronto's about to come in. You've got guys like Bob Young and Braley who've lost money for years. These guys will not cave in on this deal. That's just not going to happen. And the players, at some point, the owners know the players got to cave. They will. They have to. And this is just a game of chicken and who's going to blink first. And we all know it's going to be the players.
It's not going to be the owners.
We just got to hope that's going to happen. And just the players just got to come to their senses sooner rather than later and stop with this whole, you know, egotistical, competitive nature that they have of trying to beat the owners. It's not going to happen. The owners have deeper pockets. They can afford to wait, and the players don't. So, I mean, I don't see why they even put
on the other hand, the league cannot afford to lose a season. It's not the NHL or the NFL.
I feel like the owners are going to go for replacements. I just feel like that
they've been through
so much.
They've already got a list.
Yeah.
And they've got a full list.
Okay.
And they're checking it.
Could you imagine watching all these like AFL guys and these like university players playing the first 5, 6, 7, 8 regular season games? It'd be brutal.
I think it worked because the owners are banking on the fact that they know that most CFL fans really don't know most of the players. I mean, outside of one or two guys per team,
most people have no idea who the majority of the roster is. Yeah.
Exactly. This isn't the NFL where you have all these household names that people know.
It's not about showing up. It's not about showing up. It's about the show. All right? I mean,
I'm a BC Lions fan, not a Travis Lulay fan.
You guys are way out on a limb if you think that the owners have good things will happen from them bringing in replacement players. I won't even discuss. I'm not here to argue with you guys whether they can or they cannot play under these conditions. What I'm here to say is that the CFL can't take that black eye because of the ratio. Because of the Canadian aspect of the game. And I'm not talking about the ability of them to find Canadian players. I'm not talking about the ability to find players that are American that could replace the players. I'm talking about the Canadian Football League would not survive in their own minds. In their own minds, would not survive this black eye. I agree. I respect and understand your opinions. You guys think that they can. I just don't think they can. The bad PR would be devastating to the league. Not very good. Not when everything's looking up. You don't do it when everything's looking up. It's not like they have to argue this tooth and nail because they're on the precipice of something, and if there is no change, that was the excuse the National Hockey League used, is that they could not carry on anymore this way. The CFL can carry on this way. They're not on a bad road like the NHL was. And they weren't, and you're not dealing with the NFL that wants to lick the bowl and when it comes to money and don't need the players as much as the players need them.
See, but, you know, you're flipping it, Frank, where the NHL strikeout, the owners wanted to reduce things. They felt like they couldn't stay at the level there. They needed to go down. We're on the flip side. We're talking about the owners are okay with the status quo, and they're willing to add to it. The players are the ones saying we need a dramatic increase. So this whole thing is caused by the players, not the owners.
But that's what I'm telling you. It ain't gonna go there. It's just the optics aren't there.
Hey, Frank, listen to this. Sorry, optics. All the major leagues, okay, have had strikes over the years. The NFL, CFL, NHL, right?
Yep.
All the fans have come back. And in most cases, they've come back. I think besides Major League Baseball, they've all come back and even stronger, okay?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that there's actually a possibility that the CFL actually had a bit of a strike? I'm not talking about a whole season. I'm talking about a month or a couple of weeks. Do you know that it could actually end up working out for everyone? Because, you know, you get the people, they'll go like, finally the CFL is actually is in the big leagues because they went on strike.
Yeah, that's the point John was trying to make last show.
Okay.
I'm a CFL fan. I'm a Lions fan. I don't care what happens. If you suspend this season, I'm coming back next year.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I'm not walking away from this. I've been a fan for 42 years. You suspend a season, big deal.
So,
I'm
Chris, you would go watch.
Are you guys thinking
second...
I'm talking about the fans? Are you thinking that I'm talking about the fans? I'm talking about the corporate partners. Those are the people that aren't going to let them do it.
No, they're going to be there.
We can disagree.
Yeah, they understand their business.
They're not going anywhere. The major issue here is the fans. This league is about the fans.
Fans, yeah.
And without them, this league is done.
No league is about the fans. You guys just said that. No, you guys.
He means in a business sense, Frank, where
you're saying
the
fans.
The CFL
on one hand, you're saying the fans have no say or no recourse. In fact, they'll come out. They'll come back even stronger. They won't change. They'll still come back. That's what you said.
No, that's not. You're not reading it right, Frank. This league is about the fans. Without question, it is about the fans. Okay?
How can it be
and
about the fans? If you're
fans.
Saying
they're
the
not
fans,
fans
have
about
no choice.
The players that we currently have. We are fans of this game. I don't care who's playing this game. I'm going to go watch it because I love the game. If in 42 years, I'm not watching the same players. They all evolve.
I understand
so
what you're saying. I said,
I'm still
going to
watch my Lions.
And it's
they wear
about
my black
the commitment
and orange.
That
I'm going to cheer for them.
It's about the commitment that TSN needs. They're in a position now where they're looking for programming. You know, they don't have hockey anymore. They seem to be they're the soccer now. They're heavily into the MLS. They're lightly into lacrosse. Heavily into the CFL and, curling and such. They've got to worry about their programs. and you know what? TSN is a partner with the CFL. And I happen to think that cooler heads are going to prevail, and it isn't going to be that big of a pissing match. I think it just looks like one because I kind of agree a little bit with John. And what you just heard from Stevie, that the fans are not going to be affected too badly, but I don't think it's good for the league themselves, the partners they have, to go on strike because
okay.
they're in a different position than the rest of the teams are in.
Can I speak for a second here, Frank?
Yeah, go ahead.
I had a conversation night before, with Rolly Lambala, fullback for the BC Lions. He is the CFLPA players rep for the BC Lions.
Okay.
Now, I want to go on the record right now that he did not tell me anything that is important or imperative to the negotiations. And he is willing to come on to our show here and talk with us as long as he is not questioned directly on what is going on in the negotiations. His mom is in town till tomorrow. That's why I didn't bring this up earlier. So he would be interested in coming on the show either Friday or Monday of this week coming up. I'm going to put you in touch with that. Now, I talked with him about this, and he is under no illusion that there is going to be a strike. He does not feel that the players are going to strike. He does not believe that there's going to be any work stoppage, and he does not believe that training camp will be affected.
Which is
what
I just said.
That's his personal opinion, and that's with his knowledge of what's going on. He says he does not believe that this will be affected. They
Neither
will close
do
the
I. Neither do I.
Okay.
So did he talk about
all of the speculation
the
that we have is all fun.
Yeah.
But
what
we're
about
gonna have
that
football
that
as normal, bro.
He didn't comment on that? Because the reports were saying was that the report said that Scott Flory, the CFL players president, put out, you know, the ballots out for the refs to vote on whether
yeah,
to strike.
Yeah, wants them to vote.
I'll tell you one thing that's happened on that is they put out the ballots for the players to vote on, and they've been shut down by the province of Quebec because in Quebec you are not allowed to take
a
strike vote as long as your collective agreement is still in place. And until May 29th, you are not allowed to do a strike vote in the province of Quebec. So the province of Quebec has shut down the strike vote completely until May 29th, until the collective agreement
So you know the commissioner did a little end zone dance when he heard that.
We all knew
players.
This, though.
Wow. That's awesome.
I mean, I've been
involved
in the
same
thing happened
with
Manasseh?
Yeah.
Just keep in mind that if the season does go, if there is a month that there's no football, TSM will replay all of last year's lacrosse season.
Oh, well, that's what I'm excited.
Here we go. They only did five games.
So there you
go.
I'm getting my popcorn for that one. That's going to be must-watch TV.
Right on NBC.
You'd be surprised at how high ratings that got, actually, Manasseh.
Wait, so how many?
I know you would
ratings?
Be amazed.
It's all right.
I would love to know. Do you know the numbers?
I'm very confident that we are not going to have a labor disruption in the CFL.
Well, that's great.
Now,
that's good.
Quote me on that, but I personally am very confident.
They already know what the agreement is.
Can I throw something out real quick?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Frank, yeah.
No, I'm just going to say the
agreement
already.
They're
already. Okay. They've already decided what it's going to be. They can't be stupid and argue over the amounts of money because right now the biggest argument they're going to have is term. That's all. That's the argument they're having. That's the disagreement they're having. The players want something like five. Yeah, the players want something like five. The owners want something like 10.
No, they want 8-4.
Yeah, and if I could add, like, as far as the players' supposed solidarity, when I looked at it, I felt like there's no way the players would stand in unison and strike because you think about it, look at the different agendas guys would have. Like, the Americans, off the top, they're not going to strike because they're looking at the CFL as a place to showcase their skills and use it as a stepping stone to get back to the NFL. And on the flip side, for the Canadians, while some of them may feel they need to strike, a lot of these guys are getting paid really well.
It's a long-term goal for the Canadian players.
Getting like $200,000, right? But, I mean, think about it, Frank. At the end of the day, these guys are selfish. They have their own bills they got to pay, and they're depending on these checks to come through.
Yep.
And they're going to say to themselves, well, we're being taken care of. The American guys are going to feel like we don't care. We just want to get on the field and show what we can do. There's no way these guys are going to, even if they did strike, it wouldn't last more than 2 or 3 weeks. There's no way. They would cave in immediately.
There is going to be no loss. There is going to be no loss of games.
It's not like they make $2 million a year and they've got a healthy bank account right now. Most of these guys are under $100,000, and you know, they live from season to season, and they've got a second job in between, and they've given notice on their second
job so that they can go to training camp, and they need a paycheck that comes right away. They need it. They need
the
it.
Other difference, the other difference with this league and other leagues, namely Major League Baseball, hockey, and football, is each side had a war chest, you know, because there was money, and they were saving. Both the players and the owners were ready to spend money. They were ready to pick up the tab for something, whatever that happened to be. And in hockey, they had it. It was common knowledge that the players put together some money. They set aside some money because they knew they weren't gonna cave. So they knew they had to spread some money back, get some money back for them, and that's what they did. Because it's not the rich guys that you need to carry. It's the guys that aren't so rich in those sports that that you don't want to cave. If you know what I'm saying, if you understand whether you agree with what I'm saying, but you know that's where it's at. Where it's at is the people with the money can weather the storm. So the weak link for the players are the guys who need that money, like you're expressing. And there's more of them in the CFL. You're 100% right.
You know, all they need to do is just raise the minimum salary from $45,000 to anywhere between $55,000 to $60,000, and then get the cap up at least, you know, $400,000, maybe $500,000 a year for the next couple of years.
And I think that's going to fly. That would be wonderful.
Right. That's a fair deal.
Everybody would agree with that.
Yeah.
The owners would agree with that.
Yeah. We're going to find out.
The owners would agree with that. Okay? It's the revenue sharing that they have a problem. You take the revenue sharing off the table, bring the cap to $5 million, bring up minimum wage to $60,000 a year, and we got a deal.
And more money for the playoff games.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And then that's it. Let's play some football after that, man.
Football.
Right.
There's no problem, guys. We're good.
We're all good.
Yeah. We're good.
Can we leave this and go to a new subject? I've got a new subject.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Okay.
Well, we're not going to lose any practice time even. We might lose a day of training camp. That's about it.
So how excited are you guys about the Montreal Canadiens, huh? You guys pumped?
No, we're not. We're not going to football right now. Let's stay
on hockey.
Let's stay football.
Okay.
I got a conversation going on in the CFL is right now. And I wanted to touch base and see what you guys had to think about it because it really tweaked my interest here. And the statement is, Europe loves football. When are we going to export the Canadian game there as aggressively as the NFL is?
Okay, never going to happen.
You could. You could have a team in Scotland. You could have a team in Scotland, a team
Good
in
God.
Ireland.
Could you think about the travel costs alone?
It'll be the Commonwealth League. It'll be the Commonwealth
League. It's got nothing to do with our league here. It's got to do with the exportation of rules.
Okay.
Just a separate European league.
Exporting the game.
CFL Europe.
No, that could work.
There's probably enough expats.
The reason it would work in Europe, the biggest thing that I see that would be attractive, the size of the field is more conducive to a soccer field.
Yes. And so is the speed of the game.
Yeah, no, but but right away when you get the fans as close to the game as you will compared to the NFL.
It's a conversation that's going on here, and I just thought that it was kind of interesting. It piqued my interest, and I'm going, I never even thought about this one.
But who was asking it, Chris? Was it someone that was in the UK? Who was asking the question? Was it someone over there?
No. This is definitely our fans, our country.
Okay.
Oh, not going to happen. I mean, if NFL Europe was such a colossal failure, with all the money the NFL had to put behind it as far as marketing and everything, the CFL doesn't have that kind of money.
Colossal failure in what aspect? We still have two very strong football leagues in Europe right now. Yeah, NFL Europe's gone. Okay, it's done.
Right.
But there's still two really strong leagues there.
I don't know if you're aware of that.
There's a lot of interest.
A little bit better.
There's a lot of interest.
Yeah, there's some interest.
They love the sport.
I wouldn't say love, but they put up with it more likely. I'd probably be better with it.
I think it'd be a big difference. The Canadian game would be more attractive just because the field would be more agreeable with a soccer field.
Like football comes fourth in Europe. It's soccer, basketball, in certain places hockey, and then football comes last.
I think football comes further than fourth. I think it's like sixth. There's cricket there that isn't here.
Cricket,
so.
Yeah.
Cricket's even higher than hockey.
So,
yeah,
you know,
cricket.
Hey, listen, guys, we got to go.
And
time's
rugby.
Up. Stevie, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate your contribution. And, of course, the rest of you guys, great job. Thank you for taking the time to be on the program. It's always a lot of fun to talk, and we can talk about that subject as far as the CFL in Europe is concerned. We can talk about that any Monday or Friday. This week will be the last lacrosse show, NLL show anyway, and then we'll probably be going back to Wednesdays with football. We'll see how things work out if you guys are interested. We'll talk to you again. Thanks for tuning in to Candid Frank Live. Hey, this is CFL is the greatest football in the world. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, Monday and Friday.